Hello and welcome to episode 15 of Gabbin' Like Gals with Sam Kramer.
Hello.
So when I started this podcast, part of the point was to like get people whose voices and opinions we don't hear as much at the theater, because I feel like we hear from the same people a lot, all your teachers and your house teams. So I met Sam last night at the Beast. Watching Hot for Teacher in Ari and Betsy's last performance, and when she told me that she was a 201 student and also studying for her sociology like certification, right?
Am I
right?
Oh, social work.
Social work, not sociology. I was like, that'll be fun. We should do this. And she like lives a block away, so it's perfect.
Very convenient.
So I kind of want to get a, like UCB. Opinions from a kind of newer student. So when did you start taking classes?
I literally started the second week in July, so I am like a newborn.
Oh my god, it's beautiful. And you did you said you did the intensive.
Yeah, the intensive 101, and now I'm just doing 201 over the course of eight weeks.
And 101, you had Brandon Scott Jones and Lydia Hensler.
Mm-hmm.
And it was super fun.
It was really amazing. It was sort of disorienting. I did 9 a.m. classes.
Oh, God. I'm doing those right now.
Oh, yeah. And it was really, really, really hot. It was mm-hmm. during the heat wave. And
oh,
then
no.
My niece was born, like, the day of our graduation show. So I was like, kind of
like out, completely out
too
of
much
it. Yeah,
that was great.
So yeah, is it your first niece?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's exciting.
I know. I'm very, very attached, but I'm so glad I get to say goodbye at the end of the day.
Yeah. So she in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. Because my niece lives 2 hours away. Oh. She's three. We FaceTimed on the street yesterday because I was just like, I have to see her.
Yeah, I go through withdrawal with her already.
All the time, yeah. But it's like, it's so, and she's like teeny right now. She must be so teeny.
Oh, she's really small, and it was kind of a surprise because my entire family, we were like very big babies.
Yeah.
Which is like weird to say. I was like 2 weeks early, and I was almost 8 pounds.
No, I was huge too.
My brother-in-law was 9. My grandfather, I heard, was 10 or, like, 11 pounds.
Well, I feel like they don't let babies get that big anymore. They'll induce or C-section
before
that happens. But, like, yeah, I like, all my family has, like, all these big babies. And my brother, who had the baby, well, he didn't have the baby. His wife did, obviously, blah, blah, blah. I hate when people, like, say that, but I also hate when people, like, don't say it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
totally. He had like he has a big head, like still now, and my niece didn't get the genetics.
Oh,
so thank
it
goodness.
It was ridiculous. Well, my sister said like she had a difficult, it was a rough pregnancy. She like had morning sickness throughout the entire thing.
That's awful.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, but like, she went into labor, and it literally took 20 minutes to push the baby out.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. So she just had 9 months
of horror,
and then just, like, a quick...
Basically, yeah. Fell out of her. She looks completely different from my sister. My sister's, like, tall, like, dark hair, dark eyes. This baby is blonde.
And blue-eyed.
And tiny.
Well, when my niece was born, she was so tiny for, like, the first 3 months. So tiny. Like, just... She looked like...
Very delicate.
Yeah, well, like, she kind of looked like an alien baby.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I love her so much, so it's, like, okay that I say that. And mm-hmm. also, now I look back on those pictures, and I'm like, she's perfect! I don't know, because I'm
so... When I first saw my niece, her face was a little, like, messed up from, like, delivery.
Yeah.
I looked at the other babies in the nursery. I was like, she's not as cute.
But
I had, like, a moment.
But they, like, what happened was we were like, she is so small, like... Oh my God, she's small. And then she just chunked up, and it was awesome. She was the
like,
fattest
those
baby.
Rolls.
Yeah, she was like the cutest, chubbiest baby. Oh my God, adorable. Like, just chunked. And it was amazing. Like, just like, it looked like her whole body was just like, ow!
Explode. Yeah. She's actually has pretty, this is like, I can't believe how long we're talking about babies and getting fat, but it's like, she has like these really impressive arm dimples already. She's filling out. She was always like, she's very like compact, so she was like easy to hold. So I was never like afraid of that part. But yeah, it's like they just look so different. They change so dramatically.
Yeah, they do. But you know, I just love them. That's why I asked about babies, because it's a huge thing to be. Was it your? So it's your first time being an aunt.
Yeah, and it's just the two of us, and I'm a lot younger, so I've been the baby for like 26 years.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to have a change.
My mom just like totally turned in. Like, there are times when she calls my niece by like my childhood nickname.
Aww.
And it's really cute. Like, at first I was like, hey, mom.
Like, you're not getting replaced.
What? Yeah. But, you know, I whatever. I can like put together full sentences. No, my niece can now too. Yeah. 3 years old. She's really shown me.
I know. Oh my god. Well, my dad is kind of like, he like said to me like before she was born, like, you'll still be my number one and stuff like that. Cute. I was like, you didn't need to say that. But thank you so much.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, no, my niece can't drink wine yet, so booyah. I've got that. I've got girls in. So right now you're in 201. You just started, or how?
I literally just started, and I had to miss my second class because I'm a community organizer. And
you're Barack Obama.
Yep. Basically, no, not quite. I sit in a room with other social workers, and I talk about why the world is terrible, and then we hate on each other. Instead of trying to be funny, you try to be extremely nice and culturally sensitive.
Yeah.
And that's how social workers work.
No, so. It's like, it's weird when you have those, like, that part of your life that you treat with like complete, like, you know, genuity. Like, you're very genuine. You're very like, you're just smiling. You're like,
oh god.
You're being like the exact child your parents raised you to be.
Oh,
you know
totally.
What I mean? Like, I feel that way when I'm, you know, meeting. When I meet people for the first time, or when I'm meeting, like, I call my husband my roommate. So, on the podcast. So when I, like, meet my roommates, like, coworkers or stuff, I'm just like, you know, and even now, I don't think my in-laws have seen my comedy side very much. Because just, like, I'm a you know, you have your different, like, little hats you have to put on. You're like, this is this hat, and I'm, you know.
I was debating whether or not to say this. My family doesn't know I'm taking 201.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because when I signed up for it, they were like, why are you doing this? Like, you have a degree in social work. You should be finding a job, which I am. They're like, this is taking away your focus. But I find that they really relate to each other, and mm-hmm. I wanted to do it anyway, so I'm just kind of doing it without them knowing.
Oh, just, my God, yeah. That's really funny. Well, we won't tell them about the podcast.
I know. I'm sorry. Sorry. Maybe at some point I'll share this with them.
So what did you think after 101 and decide, like, what made you want to continue?
To be honest, I think I kind of did 101 to, like, be like, ugh, I don't need this. And I could move on with my life and, like, just be a social worker and continue that. But improv has always sort of been in the back of my mind and, like, an itch since college. Mm-hmm. I went to, like, my first UCB performance when I was a camp counselor.
Wow, that's so cool.
And I went with, like, this group, and actually Evan Boshi, who, like, does indie mm-hmm. teams and everything, he was a swim counselor, so we'd all go, like, from Westchester. I honestly didn't know what improv really was.
Right.
I think we saw Nights of Our Lives, so it wasn't even like an improv performance. And I used to just be like, I went to school in D.C., and I would just tell my friends, oh, you have to go to this comedy theater at Frank Citizens Read. Like, I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah. Well, you did.
Well, kind of. But, like, I didn't really know what it was about. And when I came back from college, I always said, oh, I want to take classes and all this stuff. But, like, you know, didn't have the balls to do it. And I finally took, like, a magnet theater class because someone had told me, like, oh, UCB is really competitive, and I was kind of, like, shy and whatever at the time. So I did that, and it was really, really fun. Definitely was challenged, and I kind of didn't really know how to take that at first. And but I wound up seeing over time, and particularly where I took it with, like, my future work as a social worker, and I also did yoga teacher training.
Oh, cool!
It really, like, applied, and I saw that I became not, like, funnier, but, like, just really more on my feet afterwards. So I knew that, like, there is, like, a growth that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did the class, I was kind of like, I just want to get through this and not cry.
Yeah.
And then I did, and then I was like, I kind of like this, and I want to keep going.
Yeah, that's awesome. And do you, like, do you think you'll continue with the program, or do you think it's kind of like, oh, I'll see how it goes? And
I'm seeing how it goes, and I'm trying to be in the moment about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do something, I really like to commit and go all the way, and I like having structure with my learning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm doing the improv jams, and I want to do the best I can. I would love to do continue with the program, but I also don't want to do it not mindfully.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah,
think I'm realizing there's so much about it that I'm still learning, and it would be really naive for me to be like, oh, I'm, like, ready to do this on stage.
And you don't want to just, like, check the box. You want to actually be present in all the classes and completely enjoying your time. Yeah, I will say 201 is such a mind fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's any different now than when I took it a couple years ago, but, like, I cried in my 201. Like, I was having a moment in the middle of a scene, and I was, like, really frustrated because I felt, you feel like all the rules are, like, building up around you, and you're completely enclosed in these walls, and you're like, I'm not allowed to ask questions, and I'm supposed to just, like, figure out what's funny, and I'm supposed to, like, tell people what's going on.
God.
And I was, like, paralyzed.
You were inundated. You were immobilized by anxiety.
There's so much. And luckily, my 101 teacher was the same as my 201 teacher. And so I'm, like, sitting there, like, and in the scene, I start to cry, and I'm just like, and, like, the other girl's like, oh, fuck, like, what do I do here? And I was just like, I'm still gonna play the scene, but I'm just gonna be crying in the scene.
That's so, so,
like, so, like, I, like, played the scene, and at one point she's like, no, seriously, Liz, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm fine, we're doing this. And then afterwards, like, my teacher was like, keep going, you're doing great. And then, like, we talked about it afterwards, and I just said, you know, all, like, I had just had my 101 show. And in my 101 show, like, the first thing I did was ask a question, like, immediately right off the bat. And now I know, of course you can ask a question. Like, it doesn't matter. And there are all these rules, but you have to, like, you can break all of them. And you just have to be able to, like, go with the flow. And also, like, there are ways to ask questions while giving your answer. You know?
Like, giving instead of, like, putting the pressure on the other person. But it's, like, learning the rules, but, like, being able to...
And the idea that if you're going to ask a question, you are handing them the power. Like, here's the power of the scene. I'm letting you decide what the answer to this question is, and you're going to, like, I'm giving this opportunity to you. So, but, like, I had just, like... And I will admit on this podcast for the first time ever that I have not gotten through Truth in Comedy because it put me so fucking in my head that I was just like, I can't read this. This hurts.
Yeah.
Like, I've done everything wrong. I've done, you know, I like can't ever be, you know. And so I was reading Truth in Comedy, and I was like, I did everything wrong in my show. I did everything wrong. And, like, I was just having that, and, like, that, then the next class I had was in 201, and I, like, it was,
it's really hard. I got Truth in Comedy, I ordered it, and it came, like, the day before I started 101, and I still don't, like, know what to do, and I find that I hope I cry a little bit. I'm a social worker. We love crying. Like, it is so cathartic. And, like, I kind of just like having, like, those dramatic moments as if my life is in a movie. Which I think says a lot about me as a person and why I'm here.
Yeah.
But I think that it is, like, when I was doing my internship, I actually interned for social work at Hudson Guild, which is, like, a block away.
Yeah, yeah.
They host, like, some of the shows for Del Close and whatever. And they have an after-school program, and I had to run groups because after taking the Magnet Theater class and I, like, picked my major, I decided to major in group work. And I had to, like, go into the classrooms with all these kids, and they were so crazy, and try to find something that they would like.
Yep.
And my supervisor was like, just shoot for the middle. Just, like, if some kids are crawling under the floor and the desk, you know, it's just go with it. And she made me do, like, puppet plays or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know why I was doing them. So I was, like, in front of the room with these kindergartners, like, speaking in a British accent. And the staff were, like, laughing at me. Like, I cried so hard. And I would, like, run and I would, like, go on the subway. And I was just, like, but I think it's just being completely broken down.
Yeah.
And then, like, building it up again.
It's exactly. Just... Yeah. And So a lot of the 101s now are all, like, intensive. Like, a ton of them are intensive.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I think that sucks because I think there's something, like, you need that full 8 weeks to, like, really feel good and have, like, you know, like, I think twice a week is great. Like, I had one of my 401s, I took 401 twice, and one of my 401s was a twice a week, 4 week class.
Mm.
And that was perfect because you, like, really got in a groove with people, and that was great. But, like, it's like a week, right? The intensive?
It's 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And you get, like, a day off in between. And I just felt sad, like, in terms of, like, group development and, like, meeting great people, because then it was, like, people just took the class and then either were going home to other places or were, like, going to wait to do 201. And it was hard because I felt like I became really close with some of them. And
yeah.
I was starting to develop, like, patterns in how we, like, did performances together. And
right.
then it was just, like, gone. And I could tell, like, the feeling that I got, and I think, like, the teachers were wonderful, but it was, like, I felt like they've seen so many people like me before. So I was, like, they're not going to know who I am.
Oh,
they're not
no.
going to remember my name. And that felt, like... just being in that context, sort of like, I'm just, like, superfluous, you know, like, why am I here? Like, why am I putting myself in an environment where clearly there's so many people that
come and go? Because they're pumping people out. Yeah. I will say, so I did take a full 101, and I had my 101 teacher for 201. Mm-hmm. And then he moved out to LA. And when I went to visit LA a few months ago, almost a year ago, I emailed him and I'm like, I'm coming out. And he's like, awesome, let's go out and come to my show, and then we'll go out for drinks. And, like, he's a great, like, that.
Oh, that's so nice.
Like, they, I mean, it also depends on who the teacher is and how they create their relationships with their students. But I feel like a lot of teachers do really care.
That's so great. Like, and, it's sort of like, it's more of like a, like, just seeing, like, how many students come, it's sort of not a reflection on what they said.
Yeah, it's also, like, finding the chemistry with that with the teacher that you really, like, there are teachers that I see have relationships with student, not relationships, but, like, you know, that develop friendships with students because they just fit really well with those people. And there are teachers that I think are great but aren't somebody that I'd want to, like, get coffee with, you know, like, I think they're great performers, or but we just don't have a lot, like, in common besides that we both do improv or that they're teaching me improv.
So
you have to, like, figure out who that, you know, find the teacher who not only it's, and I will say this is, like, a white whale thing, you have to find a teacher, the best teachers are the ones who they get your sense of humor, you like their sense of humor, and you think they're good people, like, you'd like, those are the people... So, because when you like the teacher, it's like, oh, you're giving me notes, and I like, value your opinion.
And you feel safe.
Yeah.
I think it's the feeling of safety.
Yeah.
And, like,
absolutely.
Like, I'm not just seeing what you're, like, what you're performing as a reflection of you. I'm seeing you in this setting doing this, like, a behavior, and let's figure out how to work with this.
Exactly. And I feel like there is such a personal aspect to what we're doing when we improvise, because
so vulnerable.
It's very vulnerable. It's coming from right from our minds right then. So it's not like we're like as we do this more, you're able to, like, see things in the outside world and pull them in. But right, like, especially where you're at,
yeah,
that like fresh thing, you're like, you're either pulling stuff from like tropes you've seen on TV, which is like, I feel like all like early improv, and or you're pulling stuff from your own personal life, and that is so vulnerable, and like it just it matters what people say when you just put something on the table that was like, oh fuck, this is actually my life.
Well, during the, I did the improv jam yesterday, mm-hmm. and I was really tired. I had been babysitting for my niece, like, the entire day, and I was determined to go because I had a friend that said she would go and then flaked out. But I love her anyway. Where she's like, calling you out. And I was, like, during the performance, like, for Half Her Teacher, it was great, but I was like, I don't think I can stay. Like, I think I might need to go home. But I did it.
Yeah.
And I didn't go up for the first scene, like, the initiation, but I did, like, the second one, and I just, like, came out there, and I don't think I even did based on the suggestion. I did it on what I had seen right before, and I pretended I was mowing a lawn, and I started opening up about, like, how I never mowed a lawn before, and how I'm from Westchester, and it was literally, like, playing out my AmeriCorps job that I had, like, the summer after I graduated college, and I forget who was with me, and he's like, where are we going? It was good. He was really supportive, but I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm talking about this.
That's really funny. Yeah. I've had, like, those very personal moments where you're just like, or I had a teacher once ask me if I had a boyfriend and if we had a fight and to recreate that fight. And I was just like, I don't really have, like, the fights that we have aren't real fights. They're like, no, seriously, just, is it Thai food or is it Chinese? Because I just make a decision. Like, those are, like, the fights. They aren't real fights.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you have, like, knockdown, drag out fights about, like we have real life discussions about, like, things that are happening in our lives, but we don't, like, fight. Like, fight. And I was just like, I don't know what you want from me.
You're, like, accessing dysfunction that's not
I'm like, really. There isn't. I don't. And I was like, so, like, I made up, like, something that we talk about. I, like, put it into argumentative form.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, I was just like, I don't know that I wanted people to know that about me. But it was, like, you know, it was in class. And I feel like, especially, whenever you're doing, like, monologues or stretching chairs in class, I feel like it's a very sacred place because you aren't going to tell anybody what somebody said in a stretching chair, what somebody said in a monologue in class. You probably aren't even going to remember, like, put the face to the person again, you know, and it's very, everybody's opening up. So, like, you say things that you wouldn't normally say.
Yeah, and I think for the most part you can trust that. I do... in group work and, like, what I studied, usually, and in classes, and this didn't always happen in social work school, and social work school definitely had its own issues.
Right.
But a lot of times we would kind of establish a group norms mm-hmm. and a contract and really try to kind of establish, like, a group.
Right.
And I guess maybe I noticed with 101, and I think maybe there's so much material to go through, and we do exercises and sort of informally after class get to know each other.
Right.
But kind of almost, like, establish that whatever you have in this class is going to be here, and when it ends, like, it's never going to be quite the same.
Yeah. And you will never, like, that my 101 was so much fun and full of so many great people, one of whom, like, I count as one of my really good friends now, and, like, I see him a lot, and it's great. And others, like, I'm always interested to see what they're doing. And then there were, you know, the couple people that were just taking it because they had to, or were told to, or wanted to try it out, and then, like, just that was it. But yeah, those relationships you build in the first few, especially as you're, like, coming up and trying to get into, like, the advanced study program, those are the people you, like, all come up with. So you all know the same people, and it's like a completely different dynamic, and it's full of great relationships. So, here's a question.
Okay.
What's the first show that you ever saw at UCB?
Oh my God, it was Nights of Our Lives with, okay, and I'm going to botch these names. It was with Anthony.
Anthony Tamnick?
And Adam Pally.
Amazing.
Nick Kroll and Chris Gethard.
That's incredible.
It was incredible, but it was, like, incredibly personal. Like, I don't know these people at all.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing about, like, Adam Pally's sex life. I was, like, this, like, 19-year-old, like, virgin. I'm like, I've never heard of this before. Like, this is so corrupting.
Yeah, that's so funny.
But I, like, went there, and I just, from being in the theater, felt like, oh, my gosh, this place is amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you just get that gut feeling. Like, I feel like I'm going to be here again somehow. And I would always try to go. So I went to, like, another one of those. And then I think I went to, like, when Aziz Ansari had this show Wings and Things.
Yep.
On Sunday nights. But I didn't go to improv. And I finally went to an improv show, like, I think the year after I graduated college, I moved back to New York. I went to The Stepfathers.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So that was, like, my first real, like, introduction into what it was. And I didn't quite get it. I was like, what's going on? But, yeah, so that's sort of how it started.
And then what would you say is your favorite show to see now?
Oh, I really, really like Death by Ruru.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Chad Carter is hilarious. I still remember, like, the first one I saw of theirs. And, like, this mono scene that they did was just, like, incredible.
Yeah. They're awesome. Absolutely awesome. That's so fun. What shows do you – so you were at – what made you want to go to Hot for Teacher last night?
I wanted to do the jam, and
– and you were like, whatever, what's before it?
I was like – well, I've been trying to go – like, what I noticed when I first did improv in 101, like, at the Magnet, I really didn't take advantage of going to jams or going to shows regularly because I, you know, have the class, and then I'd be like, oh, I'm kind of an early bird. Like, I'm an old lady. Like, I don't like to go to bed too late. And it's sort of hard for me to kind of get momentum to go. But I've basically made a commitment to myself that I have to go to at least one show and one jam per week.
Oh, wow. That's great.
While I'm in class. And Wednesdays, it works out for me. And I'd love to kind of be around the same performers that are doing it to kind of, like, develop. But it's also just, like, kind of, I just like the Grandma's Ashes, I think,
yeah,
to have her teacher last week. And it was amazing seeing this last show.
Yeah, the show was, like, emotional.
I know, I felt, I feel like an imposter, like, crashing someone's party.
No, I was just, like, well, because, so I had Ari for, I've never had Betsy, but I had Ari for an advanced study Harold and then a sketch class right after that. And Ari was one of those teachers for me where, like, he got my sense of humor. I thought he was super funny, and I liked him. I thought he was just, like, just a nice guy. And also, like, as a married person, it's nice to see people, other people in the community that are married and have kids and, like, are doing it. Because, you know, you want to, like, have somebody that's, like, setting a little bit of, you know, a precedent and seeing how they're doing it. And, and so at DCM, I ran into him right before their Hot for Teacher show, and I, like, met Betsy, and she was amazing. And I just, like, I just really like them both. They're just great people. So I'm just, like, when I found out Ari was leaving, I was so pissed. I was just, like, I was scrolling through my Facebook feed, and it's like, by the way, guys, I moved to LA, and I was on the couch, and I'm just like, no! No!
It's like this mass exodus.
Yeah. I mean, it's, like, luckily, I would say, so Ari and Betsy have been here for 16 years. So we got lucky to have them as long as we did.
Yeah.
but it, like, and I feel like I would prefer, like, when my peers go, or, like, people who are just above where I am, it's like, good, go, try it out, have fun. But when it's, like, someone who, like, you really look up to, and you're like, man, why? Don't. But then again, it's like, now I have two people to visit, you know.
Or, like, maybe at some point be that person for someone else, like, that comes into the community, like, I don't know, kind of, like, stepping into, like, a leadership role, like, I don't know, I see it as a community and, like,
it is.
Environment. And,
it's, I was just talking to a friend of mine who was like, man, people use the community all the time, like, have you ever dated in the community? Like the community thing, or like, oh man, the community. And it's just like, it really, it is a community, but it's so funny that we use that term.
It's so true. I think that, I think that's the appeal in many, from seeing it from that standpoint, like, I think you see so many people in line, like, all the time, like, even at DCM, and I could just, and I think that the one of the sad things about a culture that we live in a lot is that people are behind computers.
Right.
Are very socially isolated. There are very few things that we do in our world that we're allowed to, like, work together and communicate, and it really matters. Like,
right.
Not texting, nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that the hunger for that, I think, is palpable.
When yeah.
You see it.
Absolutely.
Here. And for me, too. And that's why I think I would want to be in that kind of environment. It's like, I don't want to be, like, living in my own head.
Yeah.
I want to be with other people that are living in their own head.
Absolutely. No, it's great to have those. Like, I relish the, like, 3 hours of class that I have, or, like, the, you know, whatever, indie shows and the bar afterwards, just being able to, like, be around people who I have met and I know and are great people and have at least one thing in common with me, you know?
Totally.
And it's great. And just, yeah, to get to connect to people. And especially, like I would say, while you're taking, like, the beginner classes, enjoy things like the Park Bench of Truth, where you're just...
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're just sitting and getting to know someone. You're just like, I'm going to find out stuff about you and ask questions. And also, I feel like I've stopped a lot of my groups, like, a lot of my classes have recently stopped, like, trading emails. Don't ever stop trading emails. It's like, crap, I had a class with that person, and I don't know their name, you know, like.
You just stop. Is it just, like, you feel like you don't need it? Or,
well, it's
like,
just a lot of, like, you get into a class and you're like, oh, I know that 5 people. I know I have their emails. And then you're like, oh, do I need more friends? Or, like, or it's just like,
yeah.
Oh, we've done this so many times before. Like, because you've taken so many classes that you're just like, oh.
It's almost like you're kind of in a paradigm. Like, you see, like, the people you know, it's. Yeah, like, I think that's true, and but, like, then you're neglecting, like, if there's someone there that could really offer something that you need.
Or yeah. And then it's always nice to just trade info on who's going to what show.
I'll note that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely do that. So, you printed out research, right?
Oh, my God. Wikipedia. Like, I just wanted to make sure I had her name of the person that... They credit, like, for finding comedy, like, improv.
Yeah.
Her son founded the Compass Players.
That's awesome. I'm going to turn off the air conditioning.
Because I'm a little chilly. I don't know if you are. I do have my jacket on. So. I know. What is it? Fall already with the jackets and the... my body is really confused by this weather. I think it just wants to shut down and go into hibernation.
Last night I was just like, what is going on? I am hot, I am cold, this is awful.
You're like early menopause, like that's like what I think. I'm like, I'm convinced.
We're in our
20s right
and
now.
We're having menopause.
Pretty much.
You tuned in to Gavin Like Gals, where we like to talk about menopause. How are your hot flashes, Sam?
Oh, mine, they're quite well. I got a really nice misty glow. Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
My hair.
I'll tell you what. I've been opening up the fridge. And just, no, I'm sorry. I just know that these are only things I know from, like, watching TV. Guys, I'm not in early menopause. Stop judging. So we were talking last night at the bar about why.
Should we talk about, like, how we met?
Yeah,
we can. That's pretty fun.
We can. Why don't you tell a story and I will just...
Okay.
I'll chip in when I can.
So, like, I'm deterrent. Well, like, okay, so I've opened up that my family hasn't been too encouraging about me taking classes, so I'm taking 201 without them knowing. And I'm studying for my licensing exam for social work, which they didn't tell me till the end of the year that you need to have to basically get any job. And you have to get all this paperwork from Albany, which I've finally been approved of as of last week.
Excellent. Congratulations.
So, like, I'm justifying, like, going to, like, improv shows, like, in the middle of the week at, like, 10 and 11 o'clock at night by, like, I decided I would, like, show up to the bar early and, like, take my textbooks with me to study because I live uptown. And, like, the bartender, like, lowered the lights and I was just, like, sitting behind myself, like, at UCB at the Beast. And I was, like, behind a pole because I didn't want anyone to see me. And then you sat down and we started talking. And...
Yeah, I sat down with a giant burrito. And
was it Dos Toros? I wanted to ask
No,
you.
It was Chipotle. No, Manolo and I had done stand-up together that night at Brit Pack, and we were going to go to a show, go to Have Her Teacher. We were going to go to Brothers Hines, too, but instead we decided to eat – well, he ate his burrito on the way. We decided to get burritos and eat them at the bar. So, yeah, I was just, like, jamming a burrito in my face when we met.
I kind of was getting jealous. Like, I wish I had had my own burrito.
Man, we can eat here. That's what I love about the Beast, though. Like, they don't serve food, so you can bring in whatever you want.
Why?
That's right. I was planning on getting, like, Chinese food, and then I thought it was going to take too long, so that's why I got a burrito. But anyway, I don't know why I'm guys, this is super interesting.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, so you were sitting there. I was just, like, noodling on my phone because Manolo was getting his drink. And then I just, like, talked to you because I'm that annoying person at the bar.
No, I was like, well, I said that I secretly wanted to talk to people, but I don't know anyone. So I felt, like, super awkward just, like, showing up really early. So
yeah. Well, it'll get – like, it's gotten to the point for me now at the Beast is great – because I feel like whenever I go there, I know someone.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's finally gotten to that point for me, but it takes a little while.
Well, okay. So the issue with me with the community is since I, like, will see people that I've seen, like, tons of times, mm-hmm. but I've, like, never interacted with. It's either that or I have, like, a friend in common with them.
Yeah.
So it's like... I know that, but it's, like, it's so, like...
So you're not directly connected to people.
Yeah, and yeah, so it's a little uncomfortable on, like, many layers.
At that point, you just have to be like, oh, I've seen your face before. Exactly. We've seen each other before. I know, you know, like, that's, like, you just have to do that. And, or you know, and then there's the other thing of, like, if there is a performer that you liked their performance, they are your peer. Like, feel free to tell them that you liked that performance. Because, like, or that you find something interesting or, you know. Because they, like, we're all the same. Like, we're on different, like, levels technically, but we're all the same. I bet, it feels really good. It hasn't happened to me that much, but, like, once in a while I'll have just had, like, a class show. And because, like, once you get into advanced, your class shows are, like, right before Herald Night or right after Herald Night.
I actually went to one of those.
Yeah, so it's awesome. And like, I was in the bathroom for a different Herald Night, and this girl was like, oh, my God, I loved you in your show last week. And I was like, me? Like, you know, like, you just, awesome. Like, don't expect that. So, like, we are literally all the same, you know? I could like come to your grad show because I needed to get a show credit, you know, and see you do improv. So it's like that whole
total
idea. So yeah, so we met while she was poring over books. I was stuffing a giant burrito in my mouth like a lady.
Yeah.
And I was chatting her up because I can't shut my mouth, and I got her. I had an extra reservation for Hot for Teacher.
Which I totally took advantage of. Thank you very much.
And yeah, we just started chatting, and then Manolo came over, and we all got into it.
Yeah, we all bonded. Yeah, it was very nice.
It was nice. It was great. And then we sat together for the show. It was a good night. But then we started talking about, like, why she started taking improv in the first place. And you were talking about research that you've done on how improv, like,
yeah,
connects to social work.
Well, oh, and I should say this. I forgot. So during, like, while I was in school, I love my classmates. They're really amazing. And some of them have had, like, other careers before that. And I have a friend, Devin, who was an actor before he, like, decided to become a social worker.
Mm-hmm.
And he proposed after our first semester. We took a course called Social Work and the Arts.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I really want to start, like, an improv, like, group. If anyone's interested. And I was like, I would so do that. So we started doing this group, like, once a week. Like, of course, like, I had no idea what I was doing, but I would help, like, organize it and, like,
right.
email people and let them know. And we did it weekly. And then we started having workshops where mm-hmm. we would help social workers do, like, improv games. And,
oh,
like,
that's great.
It was so nice. So it was still, like, part of, like, my social worker, like, then. And then, when I decided to take the course, because I was like, I want more formal training
mm-hmm.
if I keep this part of my social work practice to say, like,
right.
you know, I'm trained as a performer, and, like, technique-wise, like, I can actually do it and make sure right. children I'm working with yeah. feel safe.
Do you mostly concentrate on children?
Yeah. For my, both of my field placements, I did children, school, elementary school age children
mm-hmm.
When I was at Hudson Guild, and then I was at the JCC Manhattan. I worked with teens and preteens.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So we were talking about the improv's history in social work.
Yes, exactly. And when I was, like, looking it up, when I was putting together, like, this improv group mm-hmm. with Devin, I found an article that someone from Hunter wrote about, like, social work and improv, and it's called The Brilliant Genius, and you mm-hmm. can, like, Google it, and it's, like, a PDF. It's, like, a short article, and she talks about how it was actually started by this settlement house worker
mm-hmm.
Named Viola Spolin, and she worked at the Chicago Hull House and basically created these, like, improv games and exercises for, like, teens, children of immigrant families. And it basically kind of set forth the course of, like, improv as what it's known today.
It's very cool.
Her son actually started the Compass Players, which is what mm-hmm. Del Close was in, which was a political improv group. And, yeah, like, it was sort of an evolution in sort of seeing how, like, group work and improv work together. I was
and
like,
now it's coming together in the triangle that is your life.
I know. And I was like, I want to bring improv back to its roots. So, like, I like to be revolutionary in that. So
that is awesome.
What I am intercepting.
Well, I'm hoping that you'll stay in the community and that we'll see much more of you. I have the last section is our just, like, a bunch of questions that what it is
sure.
I ask people a different question each time, but they get all the questions from the person before. So you're going to get 15 questions.
Okay.
And the 15th question is you're like the first person to answer it. So
okay.
The first question is, what did you have for breakfast today?
Oh my God. I had my usual breakfast, which is, people are going to get grossed out by me. I have Thai yogurt.
Oh, me too.
I have with grape nuts.
Gross.
it helps with digestion. And then, yeah, you really needed to know that I'm on my premenopause. And honey on top of it. So
I do. I do it with raw agave nectar and fruit.
Whoa. That's what I do.
Boom. I used to do honey, but now I do agave because it's supposed to be like something with the glycemic index, and I don't really care, but whatever. You know.
Look into that.
Massage or facial?
Ooh, massage. I like being touched.
Yeah, me too. Roses or tulips, my dear?
Roses.
Yeah. Tulips seem like the cool choice. Like, everybody picks them.
I know. But they're like wildflowers. They're just neat.
The thing is that tulips, when they die, they just fall out.
They just droop.
But roses, they look pretty even when they're dying.
I like that.
Roses look pretty even when they're dying. And I'm going to give a little shout out for this next question to Keaton Patty, because his answer to this next question has changed my life. The question is, what is your favorite iPhone game?
Oh, well, right now I do an app called Duolingo.
That's the one Keaton said!
What?
Yes!
We should be best friends.
Oh, my God.
I've been, like, addicted, and it's such a good motivator because I feel like I'm exercising my mind.
And it's so fun, and they give you the little rewards.
I know, and then they give you the little emails. Although although they yeah. say, like, there's a certain strength in my skills that I've weakened, apparently.
Really?
Because I haven't been able to use the microphone because I, like, do it on the subway. Right. And I feel super awkward, like.
Being like, yeah. Yeah. Like, I probably what language are you working on?
Pardon?
What language are you working on?
Spanish.
Spanish. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. That is so awesome that, yeah.
I literally just found it, like, last week. Maybe yeah. 2 weeks ago.
Well, Keaton told me about it last week, and then I looked it up, and I do Rosetta Stone anyway, but when I saw that, I was like, this is so cool. This is awesome. I'm going to work on it. But if you're doing Spanish, you should totally do it on the subway. People would just be like, oh, that's yeah. really cool. She's learning Spanish.
Exactly.
They'd probably, you know.
They're like, thank God,
a
social worker's learning
yeah,
Spanish.
Yeah, people would probably appreciate that. What is your favorite season of the year?
Oh, I have to say spring.
Ooh.
My birthday is May 11th, so it's like...
Yeah, it's like everything comes together at
exactly.
once. It's, you know, the winter's just melting away. And
yeah, totally. I mean, I love early fall, but then, like, when the temperature drops, I totally get, like, seasonal affective disorder yeah. and, like, get very depressed.
I think sometimes I get it, though, in summer. Like, I think I like winter better than summer... Which is not true. But I feel guilty during the summer when I'm not outside.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Yeah, because I think, well, I get like my spilkus. Like, I can't like be cooped up anywhere. So I'm like the worst in the winter. I get extremely, extremely restless. Like, I don't find like good sit down activities.
Oh my God. I read and I cook like stews and it's just like amazing.
I need to learn how to cook. I think that would
just,
help me.
You know
a lot.
What? You live in the neighborhood. Come by. I'll make a nice stew.
Could you show me how to do it?
Oh my God. Yeah.
I really want to learn how to make soup.
Cause... Absolutely. Soups like regular soups are so easy. Stews are like a little bit more.
Yeah, but you need a crock pot, right?
Well, I don't use a crock pot for mine. I use my Le Creuset, which is like, it's like the enameled, like, what are they called? Fuck. Cast iron pans. So, but yeah, I really should start like a cooking class. Like, anybody come over, we're gonna learn how to cook.
Oh my God. Amazing.
But, and usually what happens is I invite people over and then I just cook when they're around anyway, because that's like the most fun part is, and it's the best part of the kitchen is like having the open so that people will talk to me.
Oh, it's so, oh my God, it's so great. My sister's old apartment did that, and this one, it's like all closed off.
Yeah,
which
it
really
sucks. I will never have a closed, well, I'm saying that like you
never
have a,
with New York real estate.
Like you have like a choice in New York. You're like, so this
closet.
One, yeah, exactly. Okay, when you make a big thing of pasta, do you eat it out of a bowl or on a plate? It's my worst question.
I eat it out of a bowl or Tupperware.
Throwing a third option in.
Yeah.
When you set your alarm in the morning, how many snoozes go off?
Well, I set 3 alarms. And
nice. Very nice.
Because I thought that was a better idea than just doing snooze.
Yeah.
And it has like 3 different songs. It first starts with Rilo Kiley's A Better Son or Daughter, because it's like very slow in the beginning. And then it goes down to Kokomo by Beach Boys.
Oh my God, that is incredible. That's the best answer we've ever gotten for that question. What's your favorite form of social media?
Oh, God. Like, in terms of, like, mobile devices?
Like, we're talking, like, Facebook, Vine, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, whatever you like.
Okay, my friends would probably say Instagram because I had a very, like, I think I had, like, a binge on Instagram, like, my whole last year. I was in South America, so all I did was, mm-hmm. like, take pictures, and I loved the filter option. I didn't get it, like, kept sharing when you would use the filter.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's like, the thing I don't like about it.
I know. I was like, I just want this pretty picture.
Filter, yeah.
Like, stop, like, sharing it with people. But then, I guess now, like, I should say, like, I love LinkedIn.
Ah, that's so funny. That's such a corporate answer.
Well, like, because I'm unemployed and, like, I can't justify using Facebook. So I'm like, I'll stalk my colleagues and see how they've written their self-summary.
That's really funny.
Yeah,
that is really funny. Do you like TV or films?
Oh, I think I've I don't know. It depends. I think I like going to the movies. I sometimes go to the movies by myself, so I love that theatrical experience.
You got to go before noon, get the $6 movies.
Oh, my God. I need to be better at that strategy. That's so much better.
That's my winter strategy for going to see movies. I don't go to movies in the summer. I know that's when the blockbusters come out and everything, but in the winter... But in the winter when the days are just like these long... like dreary days, and it doesn't matter whether it's daytime or nighttime. I just go before noon.
86th Street.
Yes. Yeah, it's awesome. All the movie theaters in New York before noon are $6.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. I'm the worst New Yorker ever. Can we bring soup and go?
Yes, let's bring soup. Let's bring soup and go. On May 11th, when it is your birthday, do you ask for cake or a pie?
Oh my gosh. I've never asked for pie, but now I think I'm going to. I love like tart stuff. Yeah. No, I just like, I like to be with people. So I'm like, if they remember to get me a cake, awesome.
This year it was my first year that I got pie, but I just made a peach pie. I didn't just make it. I just finished the peach pie. But I had, like, as you can see, I have like a lot of like behind you, there's all that like stone fruit because I'm part of a CSA. So I just got like too many peaches and I was like, I should make a peach pie. And at first I was like, I've never made a peach pie. Maybe peach pies suck. No, it was awesome. Peach pies rule.
Oh my God. Now I want peach pie.
It was so good.
There's so much I want right now.
Oh, and in the neighborhood, two little red hens.
Do you know that? Two little red hens. I walked past it. Yeah. I don't know much.
Best pie. Best pie.
I'm writing it down.
Pie, Brooklyn Blackout Cupcakes, and their M&M chocolate chip cookies are their best things on that menu.
I'm learning so much about my neighborhood. This is so great.
And I should say, like, you mentioned yoga, and I'm just going to, like, put this out there for everyone. One of my favorite teacher, I was going to say one of my favorites, but no, she's my favorite.
Oh,
my
who
favorite
is it?
Teacher is KK Clivio.
Oh, I don't know her.
At Pure Yoga, she has a podcast called it's the letter K, and then yoga, KK Yoga. And she records she's recorded four of her classes. She's going to put more up. So you can just do the yoga that she does in her class at home or on vacation or anything. She's amazing. Great, great podcast. Highly recommend.
Amazing.
So that doesn't go with anything, but KK is great. And when I found that out, I was like, this is amazing. Because those days when you're just like, I can't get to the class. Yeah. I just need to do it, but
it's
I can't get
stressful.
To a class.
Well, I go to Yoga Works and they have like no classes.
Yeah.
Because it's just much smaller population and you just like can't make it. So I've started to, Yoga Works also has like a My Yoga Works online. But I don't know any of the teachers or anything.
No, KK's podcast is awesome. It's just like a really good class. Do you ever do hot yoga? That's not a question. That's
You know what? It's so funny. Every time I say, like, I'm a yoga teacher or I've done yoga, they're like, have you ever done hot yoga?
Yeah.
Like, it's always that follow-up question. I have. When I was in D.C., when I first, before I started doing it regularly, I did it. And I almost passed out.
Girl passed out in my class once.
Oh, yeah. I actually know of my ex-boyfriend's aunt threw up in the middle of
class. Oh, gross.
And I had like a German yoga teacher training teacher, Yoshi, on 23rd and 7th. Mm-hmm. And he used to call, what's his name, Bikram Yoga as the yoga bad boy.
Yeah. Well, I do like hot power yoga and like hot slow flow.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like at Pure... I practice up here, but I feel like up here they don't crank the heat too badly. And there are hot spots in the room and there are cool spots in the room. So I like know where the cool spots are and I go there. But I really love it. But KK teaches both vinyasa, like regular, and hot power. So she's great.
I did like a week at Pure Yoga. It was amazing.
It's like a spa.
I'm upset I can't like be there.
No,
it's so good. I did a hot yoga class. I think I've never been in such good shape.
Yeah, like, I quit my gym and I joined Pure Yoga. Are tomatoes a fruit or a vegetable in your opinion?
I can see the technicality of it, the taste-wise, association, no.
Yeah. What's more important on vacations, food, drinks, or museums?
Oh, my God. in theory, I would say, like, museums, but when I get there, it's always food.
I know.
I'm always hungry. Like, I think when I'm out of my environment or comfort zone, it's like, I just want to eat.
Well, also, like, when you do find, like, a really good restaurant, and especially, like, as you live, the longer, like, you live in New York, the better you get at figuring out other cities and their food.
Yeah, and, like, the neighborhood.
Right, because you're, like, you just, like, develop, you know, you have your kind of, like, your aggregate device of, like, Yelp coupled with, like,
TripAdvisor
coupled with, like, you know, their version of New York Mag or, like, Grub Street, you know, like that. Ugh, my
or
God.
You get, like, an insider and you see, like, and you see the clientele, like, you hate to say it, but you're like, if you've seen people you've seen on the plane or, like, you're like, you don't want to be there.
Nope, you don't. But, like, I ended up eating really good food in London because I researched beforehand.
Well, I've been to London. I fortunately, me too. Where did you go?
I went to Mr. Bumble's the one place that I really, like, stuck out in my mind, and they had, like, the ravioli that has, like, the egg yolk inside of it, so when you break it, it's, like, and then they had, like, this fresh pea puree, and, like, oh, my God, it was amazing.
That sounds so, I went there with my dad, because he used to do their business, like, for 30 years.
Oh, cool.
He was in the music business, and we go to this French restaurant, Le Gavroche, near Grosvenor Square, and it's, like, the best meal I've had in my entire life.
So good. So good. What is your favorite kind of takeout?
Oh, my gosh. It varies. I go through periods. Well, I seamless web it.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah. Gotta do it.
And I was talking with someone about how, like, the places you order from Seamless Web are not the places you actually go to, like, sit down and eat. Like, I've never
absolutely
been to
not.
88 Fusion. But, like, I'm, like, embarrassed that I say, but I do like their sushi, and they do have decent, like, dumplings.
Nice.
But I would say, well, I love Dos Torres for burritos.
Mm-hmm.
For pizza, I like Delicias.
Oh, I've never had theirs.
It's like thick pie. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's how I describe it.
Around here, I like Gotham pizza. But that's, like, the only... That, and sometimes we'll, like, slum it with some Papa John's.
Really?
Or, like, Domino's. We'll, like, we'll really slum it sometimes. Like,
when I was in D.C., I almost treat it as if Domino's is, like, not really pizza. It's, like, this own thing. Like, that's how I psychologically convinced myself when I went to college there. Because there is,
like,
good pizza in D.C. Like, or bagels.
Two Amy's. Hello.
I did live near Two Amy's. But, like, commonly, like, most people don't, like, order takeout there all the time.
Yeah. You don't order takeout from Two Amy's.
Two Amy's. Oh, my God. I can't believe you know Two Amy's. Like, literally, that was, like, around the block for me. I was like, she probably doesn't know Two Amy's. I'm going to just generalize and say there's no pizza.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. What would you tell people is a must-read book?
Oh, God. There's so much I haven't read still, so I feel
that's
like,
okay. What's your... Well, like, what's a book you've read that you want to...
Well, okay. Well, this is me channeling my social work, community organizer person. So I think I just finished reading Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow. So if you have any interest in, like, learning more about mass incarceration and, like...
I've actually been really interested in that recently.
I could give you my copy because it really goes into, like, empirical data.
Yeah.
And I'm reading this other book called High Price. It's by this guy, Dr. Carl Hart, who's a neuropsychiatrist, researcher, who's done research on the effects of drugs on people. And
very cool.
From his own experience growing up in the inner city in Miami and becoming, like, a tenured professor, like, how drugs aren't really the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fantastic. It's
that's
a
really
memoir.
Cool. I'm going to put... one in that I just finished Cutting for Stone by Abraham Verghese. Have you read that? It's a novel and it's fucking great. It's, like, slow at the beginning, but it's amazing. So anybody who's listening, if they got to this point in the podcast, that's my must read. So this is your question, your 15th question, and it's just for you. Where should I be shopping for, like, clothes?
Oh, my God. If you saw what I'm dressed in, and that I'm wearing a dress that I got at Filene's Basement 5 years ago. I wear yoga pants all the time as tights.
So you're like Lululemon, clearly.
No, well, actually, I don't love Lululemon. I like, do you know Codacur?
No.
It used to, okay, so they used to have a location. They have one just like, I think, like maybe like in the 90s on 3rd Avenue. And they used to have one on like 77th between 2nd and 3rd. And they just had like just such a turnover and their clothes were like pretty relatively inexpensive.
Interesting. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, that's our show. That was an hour.
Thank
Did you have
so
fun?
Much.
So, do you know when your 201 grad show is?
My 201 grad show is Saturday, October 12th.
Guys.
At 1 p.m.
Check Sam out.
Oh, God.
Our 201 grad show. It's a Ryan Carroll's grad show. And thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. And thank you for listening.
Bye. Graduation day. Graduation day.
The theme to Gappin' Like Gals is Graduation Day by Head Automatica.